In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today the Church celebrates with Passion Sunday the beginning of a brief, short liturgical season called Passiontide, during which the Church turns all of her attention more explicitly toward the betrayal of the Lord, toward His suffering and death. It's meant to help us to prepare well, to enter deeply into the mystery of and receive more fruitfully than ever before what the Lord accomplished for us during His Passion, death, and resurrection. Dear faithful, regardless of how the season of Lent has gone until now, whether it's been what it should have been, a season of conversion through more intense prayer, fasting, and sacrifice, or whether it's been a series of missed opportunities, now is the time the Church wants to help us to focus, to get serious, to change our priorities, to make sure we are not just bystanders of the sacred mysteries we are preparing to mark, but active participants, zealous servants, and passionate sharers of Christ's saving work. We witness in the Gospel some of what Jesus needed to endure in order to redeem us. We hear Jesus' contentious dialogue with many of the scribes, Pharisees, chief priests, and others in the temple area immediately after Jesus saved the life of the woman. The woman caught in adultery, whose life they were using as a prop to try to entrap Jesus. The conversation only grew in intensity after that showdown, in which those who made himself Jesus' enemies were challenging his credentials and accusing him of the most horrible things, while Jesus was responding by calling out their hypocrisy, that they were claiming to be faithfully worshiping God while they really did not know who He was, and to be the sons of Abraham, while instead of doing deeds of faith like Abraham, they were plotting to kill Jesus. They were children not of Abraham, Jesus insisted, but of the devil, because they were willingly, though unwittingly, carrying out the devil's plan. As obedient sons of the devil, of the father of lies, they were stubbornly opposing the truth Jesus was witnessing and incarnating that sets up today's passage. Jesus asks, "Can any of you charge me with sin?" Dear faithful, we can hear the pause as Jesus looked around to see if anyone had ever seen him sin. The people at whom he was peering almost certainly included many of those who had had to drop stones minutes earlier when Jesus said, in the context of their wanting to kill the woman caught in adultery, let the one among you which is without sin to be the first to throw a stone at her. Nobody obviously could say that Jesus had sinned. So Jesus continued, "If I'm telling the truth, Why you do not believe me? Again, we can imagine a long pause so that Jesus could allow his words to sink. When no one preferred an answer to tell them the reason, whoever belongs to God hears the words of God. Underlining, for this reason, you do not listen because you do not belong to God. His enemies answered by accusing him of being a devil and of being possessed. Jesus replied simply that he was not possessed, but in everything was honoring the Father who seeks his Son's glory, and that God himself, not them, not Pontius Pilate, not Herod, will judge. If that were not enough, Jesus hastened, bringing them and us squarely to face whether we will receive what he sought to accomplish during his passion. Swearing an oath, Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." His auditors found that claim ridiculous, since all of the prophets had died. Moses had died, and Abraham had likewise breathed his last on earth. Jesus added that the Father would glorify him through his resurrection and ours, and that Abraham had rejoiced to see his day. Rejoiced because Jesus was among the sons prophesied when he counted the stars. He was the one through whom Abraham would be blessed. He was the one would be the fulfillment of the sacrifice of Isaac, carrying his own wood as a lamb God would provide. The opponents, those who made themselves enemies of Jesus, argued that Jesus was too young for to have known Abraham, who had lived more than 1800 years before. But then Jesus laid all his cards on the table with a statement pointing clearly to his divinity. "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. I am." He used the same expression God had used with Moses from the burning bush. The adversaries picked up stones to try to kill him for blasphemy. But he left the temple area to await the events that we will ponder next Sunday and throughout Holy Week in the reading of the Passion. He didn't flee because he was scared. He fled because everything was not accomplished yet. He still had a lot to do. Dear faithful, why does the Church have us ponder this passage on Passion Sunday? Not only because it reveals the opposition to Jesus that would lead to his death, but also it is meant to expose within us any resistance to living by faith in Jesus. Do we oppose him in any way? Do we recognize that Jesus is telling the truth and therefore believe in him with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength? Do we listen to the words he says and obey them, just like Jesus who knows the Father and keeps his word? Do we honor Jesus or dishonor him by our thoughts and words and conduct. Dear faithful, as we draw closer to the reliving of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, the Church wants us pondering the thoughts and making choices. Choices about how we are going to spend these next two weeks. Choices about whether we are going to put God first and come to each of the events of the Sacred Triduum: Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil, and Easter Day. Believe me, all our dedicated singers, choirs, will be there. And like us, they are busy and they have a lot to do. So, if they can do it, I think we should all be able to do it. The Holy Week is an ascension. It will start on Palm Sunday and will be crowned by the resurrection on Jesus on Easter Day. We have all made plan for that glorious day. So let's make plan for Holy Week. Page 3 in our bulletin. Choices about whether we are going to receive the atoning fruits of his passion in confession. Two priests, each Mass, to hear your confession. So, if we arrive on Easter Day without having a confession, we will understand that it will be on us, not on God or on your priest, not available for you. Choices about whether we are going to persevere in and up our prayer, fasting, almsgiving, or whether we are going to allow our commitments to vanish, to wane. Choices about whether we will be satisfied with being part-time in our spiritual life, or making our whole life an act of love, an act of divine worship. In the Mass, we enter into the saving mysteries of Jesus' passion. We go up to Golgotha with Jesus as he enters the sanctuary. Yes, we believe that the Mass is a sacrifice. Whoever belongs to God, he tells us, hears the words of God. May we put into practice what we have heard, so that our consciences may be cleansed from dead works. We might worship the living God and receive with joy here today in Jesus a down payment of an eternal inheritance. As we look at Jesus on the cross, we confront the mystery of suffering and death, and the paradox that suffering with Jesus leads to glory and happiness. Our task now is to follow him during Holy Week. He says, "If you wish to be my disciple, take up your cross daily and follow me." Dear faithful, these words are addressed to you and me. In the Acts of the Apostles, it is said that the apostles rejoiced. They rejoiced that they could suffer something for Jesus. They found joy in their sufferings because they saw meaning in it. they were sharing in the sufferings of Christ and in hope of eternal salvation. So during this Passiontide, let us imitate them. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.